Kings chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 23. You can't have my stuff. I think that by nature, we are creatures that want what others have.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or at a minimum, we take notice to what they got. When your neighbor buy a new car, that catches your attention. When your best friend tells you about a relationship that they are entering, it catches your attention. When someone tells you they just bought a new house, it catches your attention. They just got a new job, it catches your attention. But if you're not careful, the sinful nature of man will allow what should have caught our attention and begin to praise God with the person. Because of who we are, we have to be careful that jealousy doesn't set in. It is so easy for someone to share with you the good stuff, what God is doing in their life. And instantly, what comes up out of you is, why not me, God? And she's doing this. And he's doing that. At least I go to church. And so we begin this thing of trying to understand why God is doing what God is doing. And at the core of our heart and our feelings is, in fact, doubt. God, will you do the same for me? And so what we begin to do is hate on the other person. And we begin to hate on the other person as if God has not promised us something. God is big enough. God is loving enough. God is everything enough where he can take care of your neighbor and still keep his promise to you. You got to know that God is a promise-keeping God. And in spite of where you are, God never loses you. He never forgets where to send the blessing. God knows exactly where you are, how long you can stay there, and when to send your blessing. And so what we have to be careful with is that we stay open, stay in a position where we can receive the blessings of God. God knows what he's doing in our lives. And because God knows what he's doing in our lives, God is always trying to grow us, perfect us, mature us, so that when he begins to bless us, we're in place. Solomon, we talked a little bit about on Wednesday night, is this person that he came to God and he was a young king. God asked him, what do you want? And what he asked God for was wisdom.
Right.
And perhaps his thinking was, if I have wisdom, I know how to apply the knowledge that I have in my life.
That's right.
What he understood is, without wisdom, you can have everything and still be an educated fool. Because you don't know how to apply what you got. What God gives us is common sense, a spiritual discernment, and discernment says, I don't need education in order to make it in the world.
Amen.
You see, sometimes what we do is we take our education and we put it in the view of everybody and say, this is where I was trained, this is where I went to school, therefore this means something. And God is saying, baby, when I get ready to shower you with blessings and to shower you with favor, I don't care anything about your education, nothing about your resume. I just want you to know that is one thing that you need, and that is wisdom. Now, wisdom only comes from God. So if you want to be wise, you just ask God for wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom. And when God gave Solomon wisdom, he then put Solomon in a position in which he had to exercise his wisdom. He had to show his wisdom. And so it's kind of a crazy question, you know, or crazy situation when you really think of it, is that here's Solomon, who is a wise man, and because Solomon is a wise man, God then say, I'm going to put you to the test. And when you go through something, God says, that's your classroom. Uh-huh. When you're going through the tough times in life, and you say, well, I didn't go to school, and I don't know how to deal with this, God is saying, this place right here that you're going through, I'm teaching you, I'm training you, I'm showing you how to deal with it. See, you don't have to go to a classroom in order to get the wisdom of God. I thank God he just accepts us for where we are and for who we are. I thank God I don't have to show him a resume. I thank God I don't have to show him a diploma or a certificate or a degree. I thank God I can fall on my knees and say, Lord, thou knowest all my ups and downs, my ins and outs. I'm so glad that God says my favor is greater than anything that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so Solomon was faced with a test. And the test was quite simple. The test involved two young ladies.
Yeah.
It was two young ladies, and both of them had a child. Now, one of them was sleeping in bed with their child, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
The other was sleeping in bed with her child, and she rolled over, and she smothered her child.
That's right.
So the next morning, they wake up, one baby is dead, and the other baby is alive. But throughout the night, the child that was dead was switched to the other parent.
Yeah.
And so this woman wakes up and she says, now there's something strange about this child.
That's right.
I know my child. You know, sometimes you can close your eyes and 50 children is around, but your child start crying and you say, that's mine right there. Because you know your child. You know when somebody come home and tell you something crazy that your child did and you don't want to believe it, but at the same time you said, I know my child. That sounds just like my child. Because the truth of the matter, that sounds like me right now. That's where he get it from. So they wake up the next morning. When they wake up the next morning, they notice that the little baby has been swapped.
That's right.
The strange part about the story, and that is when the Bible first began to tell about these two young ladies, it described the two young ladies as harlots. In other words, prostitutes. So my thinking was, if you're a prostitute and now you're having a child, you no longer have a job, because at least for the next couple months, you got to stay at home. You can't turn no check because you got to take care of the baby. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
A trick is a trick no matter where you turn.
Right.
I hate it when folks get holy in church and they act like they don't know what I'm talking about. But you know when Mr. John, Sister Mary, husband come over on Friday night, that's a trick too. And so back to the story. The two ladies are prostitutes. And because they're prostitutes, it appeared to me as though they would be ashamed to go to the judge and say, you judge this matter. Because he can't judge the matter without first judging them.
That's right.
Satan will put you in a place where he will paralyze you, or at least try and say, leave it alone, because you were wrong too. I'm glad I can be wrong and still go to a righteous God who says the grace of God still covers you. I'm glad I can be wrong and still go to a holy God and he says my grace is sufficient. You see, God is not looking at judging you. What he's looking at is your heart.
Amen.
So how dare you judge this woman for being a prostitute when you don't know what she has to deal with?
Right.
Sometimes we can act cute in our own little fancy houses do that one, and I wouldn't do that one. And God is saying, but you're guilty of this one, and you just came out of relationship. I'm feeling like talking anymore. And you just came out of relationship with that one. You gotta be careful how you point your little finger at somebody. And so the story evolves. And as the story evolves, the woman who now has a dead child says, this is not mine. And the woman who stole the baby, swapped the baby in the middle of the night, says, oh, this one is mine. And so they take the matter to Solomon. Come here, Tyler. They take the matter to Solomon. And as they take the matter to Solomon, Solomon is a wise man, but he is also the king or the judge. And so he has the responsibility. Tyler, you gotta lay on the floor, okay? Can you do that?
Good. That's all right.
I like Tyler. Tyler hit me up for some money to do this morning. Okay? It ain't free.
What y'all do? You know it
is. Tyler's expensive. I'm gonna have to use Tyler's brother next time.
He might have told him.
So, Solomon says, here's wisdom. What Solomon understood is that love is powerful. And so what he says is, bring me a sword. And so they bring Solomon a sword. And as they bring Solomon the sword, Solomon says, I'm going to take the sword, and then I'm going to cut the child in half. Don't move. I'm going to cut you for real. Don't move. He says, I'm going to take the sword, and I'm going to cut the child in half. I'm going to give half to one pair, and half to the next. What he understood was the one that really loved the child would be willing to make a sacrifice for the child. I may not have the child in my house, but at least I know he's down the street. I can walk by and see the child. But the one who has no connection with the child, they'll always say, I don't care what you do. You ever met some folk in your life and they just want, thank you, Kyle. You ever met some folks in your life and they just want to take yourself, and they don't care how it leads you. They just want to take it. You ever met some folk in your life and they say, if I can't have it, I don't want you to have it. Let me tell you point number one, and that is misery loves company. If somebody is unhappy, don't you expect them to do something good in your life, because they don't have it in them to give. And you wonder why Fufu and them keep doing the same thing? It's because the inside of them is messed up. They hate you because you got a new car. They hate you because you praising God. They hate you because you still smiling. They hate you because you still going to church. Don't take it personal. Just know that you're a child of God, and somebody sees greatness inside of you. Somebody's trying to take your stuff because they know the God that you're serving, he keeps putting stuff inside of you. In spite of who you are, he keeps blessing you. In spite of your education, he keeps blessing you. You see, what God does is God gives you favor that is beyond everything else. Misery loves company. So here it is, the one woman, she says, now I lost my child. I want you to feel what I feel. So I'll take your stuff. I'll take your child.
Yeah.
And she should have known that taking a person's child, that was going to bring about a fight. Right. And just in case she didn't get that, when she heard the judge, the king says, well, I'll cut the child and get half. Now, half scares some folks. I don't know if you know it, but I'm going through a divorce right now. And every time they say half, I say, ooh, Lord. They want half of your property, half of your check, half of your future earnings, half of your parenting time, half of your thoughts, half of your sermons, half of the church, half of your car, half of your bicycle, half of your lawnmower, half of everything. They get more half. Now that lets you fight. No, no, baby. See, some things I'll let you have, but there are some things in life I'll fight you for all day long. Now, it ain't meekness like I'm scared. I'll fight you for certain things in life. And if you come talking to a parent about a child,
to fight you. And so once she understood, you can tell the judge whatever you want to tell the judge, but when it comes to this child, I'll fight you for the child. See, you are a child of God, and God is willing to fight for you. I don't care if you're right or wrong. God says, you still my child. You still property of me. I know you were wrong that time, but let me tell you how grace fixed yourself. See, when grace steps in, all of your little, y'all, your incompleteness, it just goes out of the wonder. God says, I know that, but my grace is sufficient for you. That's why God keep on blessing you. That's why God keep on opening doors for you. That's why God keep removing all the haters out of your life. Because God says, I'm blessing you right now. Oh, right now. He woke you up this morning and started you on your day. The Lord is blessing you right now. You ought to praise him because he's blessing you right now. You ought to praise him this morning because you're willing to fight for yourself. Understanding one thing. Now watch this. Because what Solomon said, bring me the sword. And so what they thought was Solomon was talking about that sword. But what Solomon is telling you and I is that when you're going through something, bring me the sword. The word of God is the sword. I'll cut you with this word. And every time you tell me I can't have, I says I can do all things. Christ that said to me, I'll cut you with the sword. Every time you tell me I'm going to run out of money, the word says, and I'll cut you with this word, because God says I'll supply all of your needs. You got to know the sword that you got in your life. I'm talking about a sword that I cut every time. I'm talking about a sword that I'll make all your haters back up off of you. If you pull out that sword, I guarantee you every hater in your life will leave you alone. I guarantee you, if you pull out that sword called the word of God, when you pull that sword out, I'm telling my people will begin to run, because there's something about that sword. There's power in that sword. There's power in the word of God. I know I can stand on his word. Misery loves company.
That's right. That's right.
Point number two is this.
All right now.
Don't make my losses your gain.
That's right.
You ever deal with folk? As soon as you lose something, they gonna try to get it.
Oh yeah. Man, amen.
You remember when you broke up with John?
Yeah.
And you thought Bessie was your friend. And the next day Bessie started dating John.
Yeah.
Don't make my losses your gain. Don't go pick up my stuff. But just in case you stupid enough to get it, it must have been a reason that I left it. So you go ahead and have that. Because God got something better for me. I'm just talking about God right now. See, when God allows something to walk out of your life, he allows something else to come in. See, sometimes we got too much mess going on. And God said, you got to shake away some of that stuff. You got to cast all that stuff out. Because I got something new for you. I got something better for you. I just need for you to trust me. And see, sometimes when folk think that they hurting you, they're really setting you up for a blessing. And sometimes when it gets really dark, you got to know that the blessing is coming right there. And so they begin to walk you through something, and they begin to try and take stuff, try to swap stuff. They want your blessings, and you have that old junk that they used to have. No, baby, I want my blessing. I want my mercy, and I want it every day. I don't want your hand-me-downs. I don't want you to give me anything. If it can't be new, you keep it for yourself. Because the God that I serve, he gives new mercy every day, and new mercy is a new job every day. New mercy is a way to pay my bills every day. So I got to know one thing about God, and that is you ain't going to take nothing out of my life. God is saying to us this morning, you got to fight for some stuff. And I don't mean physical fight. I mean you got to break out the sword. Every now and then you're walking through the valley in the shadow of death. I dare you to break out the sword. When it get real dark, I dare you to open up your Bible. When you see no way out, I dare you to open up your Bible. When all the hope is gone, I dare you to open up the Bible. When all of the joy is gone, I dare you to open up the Bible. Because in that word somewhere, I assure you, you'll get comfort from the Lord. Where you feel like keep on going, and yesterday you felt like giving up. But every day God says get up and try it again. Have you ever been in a place in life you felt like giving up, and God says get up and try it again? Have you ever been down on your last and God says get up and try it again? It's something about the power of God where he says what was dead, I can resurrect it. I can bring that thing up again. When they walk out of your life, they thought they took everything. And God says, watch me do some multiplication in your life. Watch me put back in your life. Pay for what you took out, he took out of your life. You got to believe God is able to restore everything in your life. You gotta believe God is a restorer. You gotta believe that God is able to do all things but fail. God sometimes will put us in a place, and when he put us in a place, he says, not trust. No, God, I can't see you. You ain't gotta see me. You gotta know that I am God. You don't gotta feel me. You gotta know that I am that I said I am. Didn't I tell you I'd never leave you? Didn't I tell you I'd make a way out of no way? Didn't I tell you I'd be a friend sitting closer than a brother? Didn't I tell you I'd supply all of your needs, baby? You gotta trust me right now. God will somehow put you in a place. And when you find yourself in a place, God is saying, yeah, your enemies is all around you. But just because they're all around you, watch me prepare a place for you in the presence of your enemies. And I want you to sit down. I want you to be just as calm as you need to be. Just as cool as you need to be. Because I got a hedge of protection all around you. I know they can reach out and they can touch you, baby. But you better believe that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I know that they can touch you, baby. But I already put a hedge around you. You gotta know. God got a hedge of protection around you. And God is saying, a hedge of protection that I got around you. That's your protection. The one hedge of protection that I got around you, baby. You better know nobody's going to come in. And just like nobody's going to come in, you got to know ain't no blessings going out of here, baby. What I assign to you, it's yours. Ain't nobody going to take your blessings. I'm not going to reassign them to nobody. You might as well go praise me right now. But our house ain't going nowhere. I don't care if it's far enough behind. It ain't going nowhere, and that car ain't going nowhere. I don't care if it's 3 months behind, and that relationship that I established, it ain't going nowhere either, baby. You might as well go claim it today. You might as well go give me some praise today. You might as well go worship me today. You might as well go act a fool. You might as well give me some act of praise today. You might as well go praise me like it's already gone. Because I am the God that I say I am. Have you ever tried God? And when you try God, you learn something new about God. You learn just how much he loves you. He loves you in spite of you. He loves you just because he's love. And then God says, I give you my only begotten son. A son that stretched forth on an old rugged cross. And he says, I'll die so you can live. And then somebody asks you, then what did Jesus come? He came so I can have life and have it more abundantly. Every day won't be a day of barely getting by. Baby, a change is going to come. It may not happen today, but a change is going to come. It may not happen tomorrow, but a change is going to come. I'm just going to begin my praise today like it's already here. I'm going to begin my worship today like it's already here. Have you ever found yourself, I'm talking about really worshiping God, and your situation didn't change? You found a little skip in your step, and your situation was still bad, but you praise your way right out of it. Have you ever tried the Lord and bounced yourself up out of a bad situation? Have you ever tried the Lord and things were looking real ugly, but in spite of how they look, you say, I'm going to go on anyway. And the more you push, the more he allowed you to touch him. And when you touch the hill of his garden, all of a sudden he changed something. He says, now I'm going to take my blood and I'm going to redress you. I'm going to take my blood and I'm going to put a power around you. I'm going to take my blood. I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to take my blood. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to take my blood. I'm going to pay your bills. I'm going to take your blood and I'm going to dry your tears. When I take this blood, I'm going to put a hedge of protection all around you. You've been stuck in some stuff, been going through some stuff, but I came this morning to tell somebody, you coming out of your mess. You better dance your way out of your mess. You better praise your way out of your mess. I dare you to praise him. I dare you to dance out of your mess. I dare you right now to just fall on your mess. Going through something. Here's some food talking about they gonna take my stuff. And God is saying, you ain't gonna lose nothing. But God, do you see what's going on? I see what's going on. But do you know who I am? God says, I am that I am. Listen, what do you need God to be for you? Whatever that God says, I am that. He says, I am that which I am. In other words, he signed the check. And he says, here's the check. And have you ever had somebody trust you so much, they sign the check, give it to you, and say, here, go fill in the blank. See, God had already signed the check. And so God is sitting down down in heaven says, now what you want the check to read? You want the check to read healness? It's already there. Do you need some more power? It's already there. You need a new job? It's already there. You got to know that God is who he says he is. But you got to have the right relationship with him. Not a perfect relationship, just the right one. See, God is after the heart of a man. Yeah, I fall down sometimes, but I get right back up again. Fall down and get right back up. And to your haters, they need to know, if they beat you today, early in the morning, I'm going to knock on your door because you got to beat me again. And one day, I'm going to get you. So every day, I'm going to come back. Some things in life is worth fighting for. And God is saying, your peace, your love, your joy is worth fighting for. You see, God just wants us to praise him like we already got some stuff. And quit asking for stuff that he already delivered on the cross. On the cross, he gave you salvation. On the cross, he gave you a house. On the cross, he gave you a car. Quit asking for that foolish stuff. Ask him for some wisdom. Enough wisdom so that you can live life more abundantly. Ask him for some wisdom that you can begin to discern. Yeah, let that person in my life, but no, you stay out of my life. I can't deal with you. The spirit of discernment. Come on, stand on your feet this morning. While we're in the presence of the Lord this morning. Servant, thank God this morning. My prayer this morning is that you'll walk away knowing that God has the power to give you wisdom. And the wisdom that God gives, no man can take it away. No man can take it away. He says, come to me. And whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that is on your heart, he says, ask for it. Now, the reason that I told you that the young ladies was prostitutes, because they had to look beyond their faults. Well, God, I would come to you, but I got a smoking problem. I got a drinking problem. I got a woman problem. I got all these problems. And God is saying, I created you. I know what you got. But what I got for you is a plan. In spite of you, God says, I got a plan for you. You can't get right. You can't be perfect. God is saying, in spite of that, I still got a plan for you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. In other words, I had an intimate relationship with you before you were even born. I knew what you was going to do. I know your ups, your downs, your ins and outs. I know your shortcomings. But in spite of all that, I got a plan for you. Wrapped up in your pain that you're going through is your pain. It's real. But God says there's a purpose in there.
Yes.
To that person this morning that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior, as the deacons come this morning, we open the doors of the church. I want you to take a step of faith. Step out in the aisle and trust God. If you're here this morning, you don't have a church home, or maybe you backslid into the world. I want you to know, in spite of who you are, what you're doing, God says, I got a plan for you. And part of his plan is no one will take your stuff. Do you trust him? He wants you to. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation? With everyone this morning, if you die right now, do you know where you're going? If you're not sure, this is your moment. This is what church is about you receiving salvation. All of the other stuff is just to get us to the cross. It's about this moment, this season, this opening right here for you. This is someone's season. This is a new day for someone. You don't know Christ as your personal Savior. It's you that we speak to right now. With everyone, don't worry about what they think about you. You need to worry about what you're going to think about you if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're burning in hell. That's the thought. That's the thought. Don't worry about what they think.
That's right.
If you join the church, they're going to hate you. If you don't join, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate on you in the church, out the church, up on top of the church. It don't matter. You got to get beyond folks.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
With everyone, I'm speaking to someone. Stop fighting.
Amen. Amen.
with everyone? Just take a step with everyone this morning. Not sure about your salvation? Here, I'll meet you. Jesus says, stand at the door. Would you come? Just take a step. We're right here. You can go ahead and remain standing this morning. I love for us to walk away when we're feeling good. Amen. I thank God for you this morning. Have you been blessed today?